I pray, God, that you would begin to show your people their purpose and show them what you have for them, God. Lord, I know that you've showed me my purpose and I'm operating my purpose. There are too many people in this world that do not understand why they need purpose, nor do they understand their purpose. I pray today you begin, it would be the beginning of the discovery, my God, of people's purpose. And for those, God, who maybe have had other plans, my God, with their lives, God, may they begin to see that many are the plans in a man's heart and their mind, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. You can be seated. There's a big question that I think everybody asks themselves at one time in their life or another. And that question is this, is why am I here? Why do I exist? Why am I here, man? What's my purpose on earth? Is my purpose to grind from 8 to 5 every day or a different middle shift and then just go to the end of my life and die and that's it? Or is there more to it? And let me tell you something, there is a lot more to your purpose than just working all your life and maybe going to church on Sundays and then just coming to the end of your life and then you go home to be the Lord. There's a lot more to your purpose. A lot of people never discover that purpose because, one, they're not looking for it. Number two, they don't understand why they need to. And so the question is, the unanswered question for a lot of people, and surveying like people that are up in age, like in their 90s, close to the end of their life, many people in surveys have said, what would you do differently? A couple of things they would do in the surveys. Number one, they would take more risks. They said, I would take more risks if I knew what I know now. Well, we don't know what we know early on, so we don't take the risks. Second thing I would do, they said, is I would operate in my purpose a lot earlier than I started. Some people start way too long to get purpose. Not that it's a bad thing. If you haven't found your purpose and you've been around a while, it's good to find it now. But doesn't that hit home? That you might even be in a job that you know that's not your whole future, but it's your grind for right now because you got to pay the bills and you got to eat and you got to take care of mama, take care of things at the house, and it's important to you. But it's not the place that you're going to be forever. And see, one of the things that has to happen with believers is we have to understand that God has given us a purpose. And then even so, with a vision like we have, it makes it so easy because it's talked about so often. Vision is talked about so often that it makes it so much easier for us to take a look and say, wait a minute, what am I doing in the vision? What's my part? What's my purpose? And that question is posed to you quite a bit. Every convention you go to, probably every service you're in, it kind of pokes at the need for you to fulfill your calling, fulfill your purpose. Many of the altar calls we have for salvation, for people that have never given their lives to God. But many of the altar calls have to do with come to this altar and find your purpose. A lot of people never discover their purpose. Spend their whole lives searching for it in the wrong direction. You know, everybody knows that I like to fish and hunt, and we go out to the mountains, and people ask me all the time. I got a call, Pastor Jerome, when he called me yesterday, he goes, hey, Pastor Danny, what's going on? I go, nothing. You're not out there elk hunting or anything like that, are you? And I said, no. Everybody knows I like to hunt. That me and Sister Barbara go out, and many of the guys in our church were hunters, and we like to fish, and we don't get to fish as much as we'd like to. But, you know, it would be a bummer, and I've done this before, to go to a lake or to a river or a stream where there's no fish. It'd still be fun to get out there and dip your line in the water and just get out and smell the fresh air and all that stuff and have some good worm on your finger and some, stuff like that. It's nice, But you want to catch fish. Your purpose for being there is to get that feeling of, ooh, they're right. And you want to be able to have to do like this. You don't want to just do this. And so you don't want to go to places that you want to find where, when you go fishing or you go hunting, you want to find where they're at. You want to scout where they're at. And you want to go and be productive and be fruitful in what you do. So my point in that is that so many people, it's like they're taking pop shots and just throwing it wherever and not realizing that there's a purpose. You have to find out what you're supposed to be doing and be there in the right place so you can be fruitful. One of the most powerful stories in all of the Bible, first of all, because it is a very Christ-like character in the Bible, Old Testament Christ-like, it is the story of Joseph found in Genesis. Joseph's whole life, his whole life, his whole story is about purpose. About how not only did he find his purpose, it looks like he found it by mishap or by tragedy, by what his brothers tried to do to him. But in all, God had a plan for his life. God had a plan for him so that he would be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing and going through the right process so that all of Israel would be preserved. You don't realize sometimes that everything you've been through, everything that you've had to go through. I don't think that Rachel ever thought that what she went through and all that stuff. Even being in El Salvador, I remember when she was there, because we went there, we were overseeing the Central American churches. We would be there all the time. And I don't think she realized that just being there was training for now. It was training because she got a taste and a feel so that when her husband is called away or demanded of to, there's a big responsibility that he has in overseeing an international part of the funding of Victory Outreach International, that she would have to have, she had a taste of what it is to be in a third world country and live in one of the most poorest places on earth and one of the most gang infested. Do you know that how many directors have been shot in El Salvador? You know how many staff or people at the home have been executed on buses? I know for a fact they've been being there so much. She had to have a taste of that so that she could understand her purpose, so that her ultimate purpose, as she got married to a guy that's going to be in that position, that she would understand why and the demand on his life and the calling, the high calling and responsibility he would have. She wouldn't be questioning it and, oh, well, you know, you've got too much time over here. She wouldn't question it at all. She would be focused because she understands. You understand? And even that, she didn't understand that then. But it was part of the process. Some of you in the homes, you don't understand why you're there. You're just like, oh, I got all these rules, and I can't use the phone, and I can't smoke a cigarette, and I can't do this, and I like to smoke a cigarette after eating. You can't understand all these things, but oh, once you've been around a few years, once you're in a different country, once you're doing your purpose, once you're involved in what you're supposed to be doing, all of a sudden it dawns upon you that everything you went through in the streets, everything you went through in your family, everything you went through in that home, it was the process. It was part of the developmental stage for you to get to the place where you needed to be to fulfill your purpose. Next week, I will break down exactly what it takes to find your purpose. Today, I want to inspire you to discover your purpose. I want you to spend all week long asking God in prayer, Lord, am I fulfilling my purpose? Am I walking in my, I'm not talking about your permissive will. I'm talking about your divine will. I'm talking about the will of God, not the will of Danny, not the will of him or her or my wife or my husband, the will of God. Am I fulfilling the will of God? And if I am, then I want the strength and the anointing to match the call. And if I'm not, I want the fervor, I want the strength, I want the desire, I want the thirst, I want the hunger to be able to go after that purpose, like you heard it today from Brother Will. Did you hear that he was preaching? He got that when he was in the gang, man. He's a preacher. He's up there on the hill up there in the White House and the Pentagon right there. And when people start asking him questions about this faith, he can step in and say, hey, brother. And he's in uniform, too. He looks sharp. You see, he looks sharp. He had pictures there in the White House, and I was like, man, brother, you look sharp. You didn't used to dress like that when you were in the game, did you? But I think about purpose. And I think about how, you know, I thought my purpose in life was to be a drug addict and drug dealer. I was groomed for that. I was literally, they built me to do that. So much that they built me to that, the ones that built me, I kind of got over the top of them. They literally groomed me since the age of 12 years old. By the age of 15, I was involved in that at a point where I thought, this is my purpose. I'll die doing this or go to prison. And I'll do it in prison then. I really thought that. How perverted and how demented is that? how hideous it is for anybody of older age to groom somebody in that way. But that's what I thought my purpose was. And then when I kind of got out of that, when I became a fireman, I really thought that was my whole purpose in life, is to save lives and be a firefighter and go into burning buildings and save babies and moms and dads. And I thought that was my purpose. I was operating. I thought I was pretty good at it. I was in it, man. I was full-fledged in there, man. I loved it, man. I used to come down the pole when nobody does that anymore. You don't use the pole anymore. There's too much danger in the back. But I used to do that. I used to come down the pole and I have my uniform, and I thought this is my purpose, babe. I finally found a purpose. And she goes, oh, honey, now that you found your purpose, you don't have to do drugs anymore, right? You don't have to drill drugs anymore. I go, no. But that was the 80s. You know the stories about the 80s. You know, that was the era of the cocaine. Can I say that in church? Think about it. I literally thought that was my... So here I am in my purpose, and then all of a sudden my purpose starts getting diluted. And then, even with infection like that. Because I was infected by sin. I was infected by secrets. I'm going to tell you right now, this is one of my points next week. What you find at Victory Outreach is you find that you can finally get rid of your secrets. I'm going to just give you that one for next week. You finally get to get rid of your secrets once and for all and deal with the truth and deal with the future. See, your purpose brings a lot out. It deals with a whole lot of stuff. And so if you'll discover your purpose, you will see the fact that God had it planned all along. Real quickly, when I think about Joseph, and I think about how there's a certain verse there that says when he confronts his brothers, and his brothers really think, because they sold him to slavery. We know the story, and we'll go into it deep next week. But they sold him to slavery because he used to brag, man, when I get bigger, I had a dream, and you guys are going to bow to me, and I'm going to be in charge of you. I'm paraphrasing, but that's exactly what it was. That's how they heard it. Like, you ain't going to be in charge of us, boy. And they put him inside of a big well, a cistern. They put him down the bottom, and they were going to kill him. But one of the brothers says, no, we can't kill our brother. And so they pulled him out, and they sold him to some slave traders, and he ended up as a slave in the house of a man by the name of Potiphar. And that man Potiphar was there. He saw something in this kid. He says, oh, my God. He was young. He was young, too. He goes, wow, this guy, he's young, but he's got wisdom beyond his years, and he's got something about him. This guy, so he put him to manage his whole household. And the story goes on where he got some false accusation and ended up in prison, and the story goes on. But all of that, it kind of relates to some people that, you know, you go through all these things growing up. Why didn't I have a dad, or why didn't I have a mom, or why didn't I have to grow up this way or that way? And then you don't realize that later on, it's all preparation. If you use it, if you get better and not bitter, if you use it as preparation, then when the call comes, and the call comes with such a rich vision that we have, you realize that, oh my God, when you find yourself in a city preaching the gospel, like Pastor Titus, there's been there 25 years, he never realized he'd come out of Orange County and be living on the East Coast for all these years. But you know what? When you find your purpose and you're finally doing what you're supposed to be doing, you look back and you begin to see yourself and you say, now I know what I did. And Joseph looked at his brothers and said, you guys might have meant it for harm, but God sent me ahead of you. God sent me ahead of your... It was for a purpose. I didn't like it. It didn't feel good. It may have been wrong, sounded wrong, looked wrong. But whatever way it is, God turned it around for His glory and for His honor. Just like Romans 8:28 says, God works out all things according for you. Listen, for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And when you understand that, you'll want to find your purpose. Because some of you got questions, just like Gideon had. Gideon said, if all these promises are true, then why has all this happened to us? He didn't realize that everything he'd been through, everything Gideon had been to, took him to that place where he was alone. And the angel of the Lord could come and look him in the eyes and say, you mighty man of valor. Oh, God's got something big for you. You know, you're not called to just be here. This is just temporary. This whole situation is temporary. It won't be long if you obey, if you stand in the right place, if you go through the process, if you get allow God to press you just a little more. You're going to be in your purpose. And look what happened to him. God used him to save a nation. One act of obedience saved a whole generation. And I'm going to begin to land it with this. I think of our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, my pastor. I know everybody says, well, he's our pastor. No, he's my pastor. And then I told him too, like the pastor from Cuba, he says, when I'm in Cuba, he says, I am Sonny Arconsoni in Cuba. So I told Pastor, I said, I am Sonny Arconsoni in Albuquerque. He said, see, look, brother. When I think about his life, what he had to go through, what his mama and daddy had to go through, being Christians and seeing their son on heroin in the streets of New York, and watching him, what he had to go through. But then what he had to go through, he had to go through. Even when he wanted to leave, and Nikki went and grabbed him, says, come on, and pulled him back. And you know the story? He had to go through that so we could understand what it would feel like to want to run. So when he preached to the nations, he would be able to speak it with conviction and not just book knowledge from seminary. He had to go through that. And that's why we are such an effective inner city ministry around the world. That's why, because he had to go through that. When my dad went to the home in the early 80s and my mom had no hope and got off of heroin and started our church, my dad had to go through without having a father. His father committed suicide. He had to go through the pain of being a heroin addict for 24 years. He had to understand what it was to kick methadone so that when he looked at junkies in the eyes and told him, God has a plan for you. And me and my brother and my sister, and we had to go through that so that when it came time for us, for our number to be pulled up and our purpose to be exposed, we had to understand what it was like to understand that so we could be effective. And it's only in the purposes of God. So everything you've been through, listen, it's time to quit bearing on that and just keeping hooked on that for 20, 30, 40 years ago. And you need to learn how to forget what you went through. And you need to learn to understand that what you went through is just like Joseph, where Joseph said, oh, you guys thought it was to harm me, but God sent me up ahead of you to save your lives. Now go get my dad, go get my brothers, and let them know they're moving in with me. They went from the desert to the palace. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to ask you just a second. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Because I can't wait to call this altar call for next week. Because some of you might not be here. And I want you to be here, but you might not. I know this, that if you're purposeless, if you're going about life just the 8-to-5 grind and it's fun, it's still, you know, I'm cool with that. But in the back of your mind, you don't want to get to 80, 90, 100 years old and say, did I do everything I was supposed to do? Did I finish the task God gave me? Did I even know the task God gave me? Or was I just kind of just in church and just listening to the word? And, or did God specifically, like he did Apostle Paul, like he did Nikki, David Wilkerson specifically was designed in his own, the way God picked him, designed to reach our founder. A lot of times we think him just reaching just Nikki, but God used David to reach Pastor. He said this before he went home to the Lord, as he spoke on the stage of when they went to the Teen Challenge banquets and things. He says, these are my sons, my first two sons. That's a lot of history. There's a lot of purpose involved. David went to New York City, or like Nikki says, David. When he went to New York City, you know, Nikki says, you know, Donnie, he tells all of us when we preach, he goes, I didn't just slap Nick in the movie. I beat him from an inch in his life, he says. Do you understand that? Good, because that's the way he sounds. I beat him, he goes, to an inch of his life. I beat him through blood. They look at it real nice. Eric Estrada on the movie, he slaps him, you know. He goes, I didn't do that. He goes, I beat on him. And he still loved me. See, that history is so rich. If you were to finally get a hold of that, some of you still haven't got a hold. If you understood the rich history of the end time gospel being preached. The end times can mean 100, 200 years, but it's a bit. Think about it. Think about the rich history of just reaching, and then it reaches down to you. And God has called you. But you'll never fulfill the calling, or you'll never respond to the calling if you don't understand that you have purpose. You're designed. The Bible says calls you his workmanship. In Ephesians, second chapter, in verse 10, he calls you his workmanship. That word, the Greek word, there's the word poema. And the word poema, what it simply means is to be handcrafted or designed specifically by an artist. Shaped. God is, I know you've been through some stuff, but you got to forget that already. Not forget, like I don't belong here. I'm not part. No, you still got to never forget the corner you were brought up on. Ever. You hear David, he could say, I just leave that out of my testimony. I don't claim that I was ever homeless. No. I was homeless, he says. He's been doing that for years. He's been doing that. He has never changed. Because he don't want to ever forget. Pastor Sonny said all the time, I was a heroin addict. First time my dad ever heard hope that for heroin addicts, him and my mom went to a rally right here on Broadway. Philip LaCroix had brought Pastor Sonny to an Assembly of God church where there was going to be a junkie rally. A rally where junkies could come and hear a testimony of an ex-junkie. And that was unheard of. It was unheard of in those days. It was the early 70-something, one, or I don't know, early in the ministry. There wasn't a lot of churches out or anything. And he came and he testified. Because I was a good-for-nothing dope fiend in the streets of New York, man. I was a heroin addict. And my dad said to my mom, he said, in Spanish, he said, that guy's no dope fiend. Don't look like he was ever a dope fiend. But he said in Spanish, ese vato no era tecato. And then Pastor Sonny, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, goes, some of you here don't believe me. So, he goes, I'm going to roll up my sleeves. Because you can still see him. And you're going to come up here and take a look. That at one time, there's the marks right there where I used to be a heroin addict. And my dad told my mom, did he hear me? They were sitting on the back wall, but him and a few other guys, right? Some other guys were dope fiends. They were back there, nodding out. So he went up there and he saw those arms. That was the beginning of the change for our family. I know you guys are grateful for what God did for you, but you have to realize what God did for our family. Had it not been for the home, had it not been for Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, we wouldn't be here. I would have died a long time ago and been in prison a long time also. Same story, different situation. I don't know what your situation is. Your situation may be completely different. You may not come from a background of craziness, but you're still sitting here saying, I don't have a purpose. Well, guess what? God brought you here today to tell you, you have a purpose. If you want to find it, you find it in God, and you can find it here in Victory Outreach. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you bow your heads. I'm going to say a prayer. And then I'm going to call an altar call. Bring it down just a little bit. I want to call an altar call for a few things. Number one, for those of you that have never given your life to God, see, this life is really it's kind of prelude for eternity. We live on this earth 60, 100 years at the most. And then we live for eternity after that. So this kind of prepares us for eternity. The first thing you got to do is give your life to Jesus. If you have never given your life to Jesus, I would say today would be the best day to start. Because tomorrow's not promised to anyone. Or maybe you have surrendered to the Lord at times in your life, or you said the sinner's prayer, you gave your life to Jesus, then life got busy, crazy, and all of a sudden you began to turn your focus on different things. Maybe you've gotten away from that. You know what? There's you're not alone. That's like many people that kind of go drift. They drift off the trail. It's time for you to get back on the trail. Simply get back on the trail. So if that's you today, if you say, Pastor, I've never given my life, or you know what, I'm off trail right now, I need to get back on trail, and this altar call is going to be for you. And then thirdly and lastly, if you say, Pastor, I know that I got a purpose. I don't know what it is. I want, can you pray for me so that I can discover my purpose? Or maybe you say, you know what? I just need to believe again. Maybe you walked in purpose at one time and you stepped away from that. And you're feeling guilty, shameful. You know, there's no room for guilt or shame at this altar. There's only room for mercy and grace at this altar. And if you want that mercy and grace, you say, I want to get back on the trail of my purpose, or I want to discover my purpose, and this altar call is going to be for you too. Let me say a prayer, and then I'm going to have them sing a song. Father, I pray, God, for the people in our church this morning. Father, I pray, God, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would minister to their hearts, and the Lord, that everything that's been done on this stage today would have been a setup for them to get in the right place where they need to be at. First of all, my God, for those that need salvation or rededication. And second of all, God, for those, God, who need purpose or need to get back to their purpose. And I pray, oh God, that there would be such an anointing today here at this altar call, that lives would change, that the future would be shaped by what happens here today in the name of Jesus. As they sing this song, if God has spoken to your heart, if God has spoken to you, I'm going to ask you to come and find a place here at this altar. I'm going to ask you to come and say, God, I want to find my purpose. God, I want to fall in love with you. I want to get back on trail, oh God. It's my time. It's my era. I want to not only discover my purpose, I want to fulfill my purpose. And I want to walk with you. And I want to understand what you want for my life, oh God. And as I discover it, oh God, I want to fulfill it, Father. Come on, from all over this place. God's got you this morning. God wants to do a work in your life this morning.
That is who you are.
He's a way maker. He'll make a way for you.